1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by the Marcus Majestic Parking Lot Cinema. For a unique double feature drive-in experience, check out this week's movie selections at marcustheaters.com/parkinglotcinema.
Bob and Brian, good morning. Lemon juice? Is that how you keep your guacamole green?
I think
green?
That helps.
I'm really
right there at the table at some of your places where they make it fresh.
I know I've seen how to keep your guacamole green, but I cannot for the life of me remember.
You're supposed to put the pit back in it, the avocado pit.
In the actual
guac? Yeah.
In the dip. A pit in the dip.
Mm-hmm. Throw it back in there. It's supposed to help.
Releases
some kind of...
supposed to help? Is this an Alton Brown fact, or is this just some
wives' tale?
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's what my wife does.
Oh, what? So, hey, okay, fine. We'll throw the pit back in then. That's fine.
It may be a wives' tale. I don't know.
It's from a wife, so it is a wives' tale.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm. From a why can't it be a mother's tale? You know,
right?
You guys refer to her as mother,
mm-hmm.
not wives. How's your wife?
Because you don't.
Because mothers.
You don't accuse your mother of making stuff up.
Oh, mothers have a day. Mothers are supposed to be the bosom of love and caring.
Right.
But wives are just harpy henpeckers. I'm not saying I think it's true. It's just
traditionally
it's
image.
What we've built our American humor on.
Mm-hmm.
Wife jokes.
I don't disagree with that statement. I will not say it again. But I don't think you're wrong.
But isn't that...
I think the words you spoke were true.
Pretty much
for the most part.
Envision Ralph Cramden. He wasn't fighting with his mother.
No.
Ma, to the moon!
No, that didn't happen.
No.
Did you see Ralph? He was going to hit his ma. What's the matter with that guy?
Right, but hitting his wife, and it was ha 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 ha.
Yeah, right.
No, I can't explain it. I just grew up in it.
Mm-hmm. So avocado pit back in the dip in the guac.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're going with.
Well, that's all I know. Wondering.
Okay.
Can we ask somebody like Guy Fieri or?
Sure, call him.
We could
have his number.
I'm going to ask Google right now.
That's the problem. We really should have more people's numbers to call them up during the show to get answers.
Hey, I need some answers.
Right.
Yeah, that would be nice, but
I don't.
We get to work so darn early for those folks.
Yeah, unfortunately. Guac is not one of my favorite things. I don't dislike it, but I don't seek it out.
As really?
Far as, no,
I love a good guac.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm in the minority here.
If I see it, I'm like, ooh, kind of we got good guac.
Good sandwich lube every now and then.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Good on chicken. Good on steak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, I think I'm in the minority. On steak. Guacamole on steak. I've never even heard of that. Yeah. That you
steak
know what?
Sandwich.
You know what? 100 years ago, that would have got you institutionalized. That would have got you some shock therapy.
Right, along with my belief in tomatoes. They're poison! Yeah. What was that story with the tomatoes? Some guy had to eat one on the steps of a courthouse to prove they weren't.
Yeah, yeah.
Either that or it was some kind of orange, too. They thought those were poisonous.
That one doesn't sound familiar, but the tomato one, there was some politician or something or a local leader who ate one in front of people, and they stood there horrified as I think he ate three.
Just waiting for him to fall over.
Yeah, right.
Watch, he's going to die.
To show
his lips are going to turn blue, and he's going to fall
wasn't,
over.
Since we're getting into foods and are they safe or not, didn't we determine that the tomato was safe because monkeys ate them? Monkeys would eat them? I've never seen a monkey eat a tomato. Like, the monkey could tell what was poison and what wasn't. I don't know if that's the best way. I don't think the FDA does that. Like, they have a room full of monkeys and they roll like a new batch of cookies in there from somebody. Well, let's see what the monkeys do.
That didn't go well.
Here we go. This is Wikipedia. Could be true. Could be just some guys. Okay.
Well, it's all we have.
Got tired of sending in penthouse forum letters, and they decided to do this.
Is that where those guys went?
I don't know.
To Wikipedia? I never thought this would happen to me. I was eating a tomato one day. Letter starts starts that way.
Come on, those never started. Anyway, in France and Northern Europe, the tomato was initially grown as an ornament plant. Boy, really?
The green and red was just.
I realized there was no TV and nothing to do. You couldn't just put on an album.
Look at a tomato plant. That was what you turned your furniture to look at in your living room, the tomato plant.
But did you really? You could really use your resources, your sweat to grow things in the good earth, the valuable, fertile soil that needed to produce crops to just have an ornament plant, really? That seems.
One. Couldn't have a field full of them, probably.
It was regarded with suspicion as a food because botanists recognized it as a nightshade, a relative of the poisonous belladonna. This was exacerbated by the interaction of the tomato's acidic juice with pewter plates.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're very acidy.
The leaves and
immature. So are strawberries. But they're eating those.
An immature fruit contain tomatine, which in large quantities would be toxic. However, the ripe fruit contains no tomatine. The Spanish sort of introduced it around.
That would have been a tough sell back then. You know, does it have too much tomatine?
Right. Well, it has it when it's green, but when it's red, no. Really? Where does it go?
Right. Yeah. That's probably almost exactly how they sounded, maybe throwing a little bit of a French accent. Oh, really? Oh, really? Why don't you eat one? Kind of
like that. Earliest exactly. Reference to...
exactly, Rock says. I think he nailed it.
Yeah. Tomatoes in British North America is from 1710 when herbalist William Salmon reported seeing them in what is today South Carolina, probably introduced by your pirate types. Yeah.
You can't, there's no tomato-based alcohol, is there? I mean, like, if you let it sit long enough or you distill it or, yeah, is there, can we get, can you make
alcohol? Is it sugary enough?
I don't know.
I don't think it's starchy. It doesn't have a starch in it, so.
And the reason I ask is, you can make alcohol out of wood.
Berries.
Wood. Yeah. They were doing it. It's no good. You go blind. It destroys your optic nerve.
Well, what are your corn and wheat and barley?
Uh-huh. A lot of sugar. But you're right.
You make wines out of fruits.
Tomato wine? Is there a tomato starchy wine?
Well, and tomato is actually a fruit, too, so.
That's why. If you can't, that's why I kind of understand, well, we can't make alcohol out of it.
Maybe it just sucks so bad. I feel like someone must have tried it, but I don't know. Vodka, tomato.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You would.
Doesn't look like it. And you're exactly right because it doesn't have enough sugar.
Yeah, Brian said that, not me. I didn't come up with that. Not enough sugar. Well, then I could see where a lot of the people would go, well, it's worthless to me then. Then it's dead to me if I can't make I can put it on a salad.
Can't so make what? Booze out of this. Right. Ah, forget it.
But she make a grated tomato paste. She make a grated pizza sauce.
Some people, this is still in the South Carolina in 1710 area, continued to think tomatoes were poisonous at this time, and in general they were grown, once again, as ornamental plants.
Is this ornamental plant like a Christmas thing? It's red and green?
Thomas Jefferson, who ate tomatoes in Paris, sent some seeds back to America. Well, he'd be the guy to do it. That seems very Jefferson.
That alone should get him on Mount Rushmore. You know that, see that guy up there? He was the tomato king. That's why he's up there, tomato king.
The tomato Mount Rushmore. Yes, Chef Boyardee and Thomas Jefferson. What's that?
Who else do you put up there? Mama Celeste?
Alexander Livingston receives much credit for developing numerous varieties of tomato for both home and commercial gardeners. So there's a guy. Who was the dude we mentioned earlier? William Salmon, is that it?
Yes.
There are a lot of varieties of tomatoes.
Oh, how many?
I don't think they're quite like dogs or
no, but
cheeses,
there's a lot.
But there's a lot of tomatoes.
I can name one, beefsteak. Your beefsteak tomato. Then there's your cherry tomatoes.
Still looking for the story where the guy
stood on the stairs.
I'll eat this tomato.
I think it was a couple.
The crowd gasped.
Now, if you're going to stand on the courthouse stairs or the stairs of City Hall as the townspeople gather to see this, and you're going to eat a tomato, you've got a napkin or a bib on, right? Because they're really kind of juicy and not, you can't.
You'd have to have something to at least dab with.
Do you think he sliced it up and used a fork and ate it? Did he cube it, something like that? Or did he just stand there like it was an apple and mash away on it?
Well, I don't think if you're trying to sell the tomato, you'd want to make it look like a sloppy mess.
Okay. So a little bit more on the presentation.
Just thinking it from a marketing point of
view. But you can hold the tomato up and show it to the crowd, too. Nice, you know?
Right fruit.
Right.
Here it is.
My tomato.
Here's a tomato.
Yes. I'm going to eat it because I'm going to show you it's not poison. Now, even if one guy eats one tomato on the stairs of City Hall and you're terrified that the tomato is poison, is that enough to get you to go home and make a nice tomato soup or something like that?
No, I think it. What do they say about sales? It takes like 7 or 8 hits to get people to buy, I don't know, siding or new screens or a commercial or something on the radio. It takes a number of.
Is it?
7 or 8 points of contact to.
Does that include like
a
billboard or a jingle? And yeah. Okay.
So.
Maybe he had to go out there 6 more times. All right. This is the 7th and final time.
My meeting.
Gonna stand here. Tomato. Eat a tomato.
Oh, here it is. Here I got the story.
All right. Let her fly.
This is from Commonplace Fun Facts. One man changed the public's mind about the tomato.
And again, for those of you who are going, what are we talking about? We started with guacamole, and now we're on to the tomato? What is wrong with these guys? It's a cooking show. I'm sorry. At its core, this is a cooking show.
Colonel Robert Gibbon Johnson of Salem, New Jersey, encountered the tomato on his travels.
Bob Johnson.
Yeah, you know. Bob Johnson.
Yeah, it's a
tomato grower.
It's a fairly common name. Sure. There's, you know, it's
well, not, you throw the colonel and the middle name in there.
Yeah, but Bob Johnson.
And the proper Robert.
Yeah.
Colonel Robert Gibbon Johnson of Salem, New Jersey, encountered the tomato.
Yeah,
on
we had a Colonel Sanders,
some
too.
Brought home with him in 1808.
He wasn't really a colonel. He could have just done this,
too. Say where he
brought
him home from. But he brought them home in 1808. Okay. Wanted to encourage tomato production in the U.S. and offered awards for anyone who could grow the largest tomato each year. But he didn't have a lot of takers, however, because the conventional wisdom was they were toxic. Johnson grew frustrated when his words failed to persuade the public. Maybe he didn't look healthy. Maybe he had missing teeth or something.
What if the what if the
guy eats tomatoes all the time?
What if the
he says they're good for you? Look at him.
What if
you know, think about it.
Yeah, you're not. Okay,
Bob Johnson.
You're not really helping.
Really conjure the, anything up.
Yeah.
But, you know, 1820, you know.
What if.
What was the life expectancy in 1820? About 43?
Might be a little heavy there. You might want to drop her down to high 30s.
Well, yeah.
What year was this?
Well, he brought some tomatoes home with him in 1808, but the courthouse step story, or whatever this is, 1820.
1820.
So,
all right.
You know,
let's say the circus 12 comes.
Years later. He's been trying to get the tomato going for 12 years.
All right. You make a valid point. Look at the guy. Okay.
We have no. Right. Doesn't ever say what he looks like.
Let's assume. Let's just go with that because that's all we have is what we can assume. All right. Maybe he's not, you know, they're going to go, okay, but look at him. Is that what we want? This is what we can expect when we eat tomatoes. Let's say the circus comes to town and you convince the strong man to come out and eat a tomato. Now, I don't know that that works because he's a big help.
Hold on. Did they have circuses like we're talking about in the 1820s? I think that's more like 60 years later.
Really?
Turn of the century.
What did an 1880s? What did an 18?
You had your elephants and your, you know, like Dumbo. Yeah. That kind of stuff.
So you don't think they had a bearded lady who came rolling in?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. The circus. What was it? When did they start having circuses like we know them?
Carnival
with the big top. I don't know.
The carnival comes down. If the strong man eats one and survives, I don't think you're impressed because you're going, well, he's clearly a very healthy person, more healthy than I am. So who from the circus do you feed the tomato to prove to the crowd that it's not deadly? The bearded lady?
I don't know. Wouldn't you pick a...
The Siamese twins?
I don't want the Siamese twins. I would pick someone who looks good. A good-looking person.
The ringmaster?
Is there a version of Cheryl Teagues we could get?
Did circuses have a beautiful lady?
No, they traveled with? Showed freaks.
Right. That's why it was a circus.
Although I think if you were really good-looking, it was probably freakish back then because no one had clear skin, white teeth. Here's a picture of Colonel Johnson.
Well, he looks... strapping, would you say?
He wore a rough shirt.
Well, everybody wore them back then.
Silvery hair.
He was probably 25.
Yeah, right. He was born in 1771.
What do you need to see the tomato do in 1820 to prove to you that it's safe to consume?
This is after 12 years of pushing the tomato, too, by the way.
Yeah, I wonder what they needed to see. What would I need to see? I'd probably have to touch it, hold it a little bit, look at it, smell it. Maybe have a small piece of it, because I would think a small piece wouldn't kill me.
The modern circus began in 1768.
Really?
But that was just like horse riding tricks, basically.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Modern. Did it have the calliope?
I don't think so. According to the Greatest Showman, Barnum started that.
Right, P.T. Barnum was in the
1800s.
That's what I think of as modern circus.
That's where you
have
modern,
I mean most
bearded,
horrible.
Well, that's
yeah, the
right.
Bearded
that's
lady
what I think
and
by modern circus. It's like... The lions and a lion tamer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had elephants and clown. Trapeze.
Right. I think of a circus. And
step right up.
In what, 1760?
Yeah, but that doesn't sound like much of a circus.
Now, what were they standing up front? Step right up. See, blah, blah, blah.
Did
blah.
They have elephants? Because
I don't know when we
first... When did we bring, you know, any kind of elephant?
I'll bet an elephant would eat a tomato.
Sure.
Yeah, right?
I don't think that's going to sell your tomatoes, though.
No, but I'm just saying.
An elephant can eat it. Okay.
I just saw a thing the other day that monkeys, like bananas aren't really their their thing that they eat. You know, I mean, they'll eat bananas when you give them to them. But there's too much sugar in them for, they'd be diabetic if they just ate bananas all the time.
How do we know? They're not now.
So the monkeys knew enough not to eat bananas all day.
Yeah.
But if I'd have...
But if you had a bag of Skittles, you wouldn't be able to stop.
Have we tried hooking animals on, like, Mounds bars or anything like that?
Think back to grade school, all right? And your teacher gives you an assignment to draw a picture of a monkey.
Sure.
And you draw
him with a banana in his hand.
You draw a monkey with a banana in his hand. Now, mm-hmm. If I draw a picture of a monkey with something healthy, a glass of milk.
Maybe an avocado.
I get an F on that project.
I don't think you get an F.
You think I go, you think the teacher questions me? Well, what's this in his hand?
Yeah.
It's an avocado. It's a healthier choice.
I think they'd probably be okay. Yeah.
I think I would have been told to go draw a monkey with a banana and bring it to me. Like every just other kid really, in the class.
Really don't see that happening.
Mr. And then they would use these air quotes, monkey experts. No, it's a fact. They would be diabetic.
You don't want diabetic Mrs. monkeys, Hunt. Do you?
Yeah.
No, we get what? Curious George rolled at us.
Yeah, he's always got a banana age. In his hand.
Well, there's the man with the yellow hat. That's kind of banana-y.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of long and yeah. Tall hat.
Sure.
Yeah. That's why George hung around him. He thought he was a big banana. He had a yellow suit, too, if I remember. Suit, yeah, hat, cowboy boots.
Kind of yellow.
Yeah.
All right, here we are. Back to our tomato story. On September 26th, 1820, Colonel Robert Gibbon Johnson stood on the steps of Salem's courthouse. Yeah, got that right. Steps of the courthouse.
I said courthouse or city hall. I wasn't sure.
I think I said courthouse. As a crowd gathered to watch, Johnson stood there, and ate an entire basket of tomatoes.
Ugh. That's like Joey Chestnut.
Yeah. Although I don't think he was horking them down like it was a timed event.
A basket.
Yeah.
Do you think it was a bushel basket
or an Easter basket? Like a, you know.
Six
like
tomatoes, a, five tomatoes?
One or two quart basket, maybe.
That's still a lot of tomatoes. Basket,
yeah.
It's a lot of tomatoes.
It doesn't say an entire bushel of. Mm-hmm. Entire basket of tomatoes. Everyone watched with morbid fascination at what was apparently an attempt to commit suicide in full public view. I'll bet he had the runs later.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Look, it is poison. He's crapping his brains out.
He's going to the John again.
Yeah. A sidebar, please. Is this any different than people coming to watch Evel Knievel jump his motorcycle over something?
No.
Which we thought was a suicide run, you know, on Wide World of Sports every week.
Right.
You know, is it any different?
Not really.
No. No. They didn't have motorcycles.
They had tomatoes.
They had tomatoes.
Right. Food freak show.
Death-defying acts.
Yeah.
This man's going to eat a tomato.
You know, we sat and watched. We have that slow-motion video of Evel Knievel falling off his motorcycle at the...
Just tumbling.
At Caesar's Palace when he clears the fountain, but, you know, doesn't stick the landing, and he's
body
super
is
slow, and arms and legs and wheels, and
you know, also back in these days, you got to see it. Only got to see it once.
Right, there was no rewind,
no replay, no instant anything,
no 5 o'clock news, no
slow
right.
motion.
Right, you better get down to the courthouse.
Yeah, I think that would have been really tough in those days. There just wasn't that much to do. There really wasn't.
That's why I was kind of surprised when you were shocked at the tomato itself was an ornamental plant.
Well, because you were working to survive all the time.
But they had, you know,
you're growing stuff for food, right? But they had flowers, I suppose, and stuff.
And a tomato plant.
Yeah. You're rich people. Right. Oh, he's rich. He has a tomato plant.
Yes.
And, you know, the leaves and everything on those things, those aren't very good looking.
Tomato plants?
Yeah.
No.
They're kind of spiny and...
Yeah, they're not... No. But again, they didn't have
radio.
They didn't have a quality morning show like this.
They didn't even have them. This. Man. Eh, I got to go plant some tomatoes.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait till we invent the motorcycle so we don't have to watch this guy eat tomatoes. It'll be a lot better.
When Johnson wiped his mouth and patted his full tummy.
This is after he was done eating. He had finished up.
Demonstrating he felt no ill effects from his snack, he proved the tomato was safe.
Well, I don't know. If you die in your sleep that night, I don't think many people would have thought it was safe. I don't think just surviving moments afterward is really the key.
Right, and when he was running to the Jakes. every couple of minutes.
Now, if you'll excuse me.
All afternoon.
It's that butt clench walk off the stage.
I must go relieve myself. It's nothing to do with the tomatoes. Fine.
Why are you making him sound like Teddy Roosevelt?
What kind of voice would you
assign?
I
don't know. No, no.
No? I must take my leave.
Salem, New Jersey. New Jersey. Give him a Jersey thing.
Jersey should be the tomato state.
Well, that's where the story's from.
They're the garden state, right? Maybe they we'll be all,
sure.
Instead of just being a specific
tomato garden
thing,
state.
Right, the tomato garden state. We'll just be the garden state. All vegetables and fruits are welcome. You know, garden.
And the key to keeping your guacamole green is to keep it from being exposed to air.
Yeah, well, that's kind of hard when you got it in an open bowl.
You're supposed to press all the air bubbles out of it with a spoon.
Who's got time for that?
Then make sure to cover it well in a plastic wrap. Someone suggests putting a little layer of water on top of it before you seal it up. And
water on top of the plastic?
No, on top of the guac under the plastic.
It'll be all runny then, isn't it?
Couldn't you put the water on top of the plastic?
They said not to.
As a weight?
Put it on the guac.
You know what? You were just talking about defying convention by drawing a monkey with an avocado in his hand instead of a banana. If I want to try putting water on top of the plastic that's on top of the guacamole, I'm not going to let anyone push me around.
And some chefs say to leave the avocado pit in it. There's no evidence that the pit has any special anti-browning chemicals, but some chefs swear by it.
Nothing else, it's a conversation starter when guests arrive.
What's the pit? Big hard brown lump doing in the middle of your guacamole?
What's the pit doing in there? Well, funny you should ask. Mm. It helps keep it fresh. Any proof of that? None.
Then you might wind around into the tale of Colonel Johnson.
Sure. Much like the tomato.
And there you're off and running with your party.
Right.
There you go.
Leave the pit in. You can tell the tomato story.
Right over there.
But that's an entirely different plant. No, I just don't have a good avocado story.
Another guy walks up to the avocado dip, looks at the other guest and goes, what's the pit doing in there? Don't ask.
He's going to tell you a half hour tomato story.
Big tomato thing and clenching your butt cheeks and I must take my leave and he'll do this voice. And
there's a good long article about him on
Bob
Wikipedia.
Johnson?
Yeah, Robert Johnson.
He's also
why isn't there
one of the fathers of blues?
Why isn't
Robert
there
Johnson?
Why isn't there a Johnson tomato, like a beef Johnson tomato?
Maybe. How do you know there's not?
There's more tomatoes than I was ever aware of because I bought some tomato plants and there's all kinds of
varieties,
different beefsteak.
Yeah, that's the one I know. Beefsteak.
That's
tomato.
I know. That's why you threw beef in there.
Oh, you got
but
your
there's
plum
hybrids.
Tomatoes. Your cherry tomatoes.
Yeah, there's yellow ones.
What's up with the yellow ones?
Hey, look at this. Mm-hmm. How to grow German Johnson tomatoes. There you go. F you. There is a Johnson tomato.
Is this a Johnson?
Yeah. There should be. The German Johnson. Is there an American Johnson?
Well, why would they have to delineate between what kind of Johnson it is?
Because we have American potato salad and we have German potato salad, and they are distinctly different tastes. So, I'd like to know, is there an American Johnson?
Pink-red tomatoes born on robust plants that can fill a tomato cage and drape back down again. Yeah, that's the German Johnson tomato.
What is the most common run-of-the-mill tomato that's in all our spaghetti sauces and pizza toppings and in lasagnas and things like that? What tomato are we using? Mm. What is the...
I'm not sure.
What is the working tomato?
You've got the beefsteak, the big boy, the Brandywine, the boxcar Willie.
Really?
Yeah. That's only
How did he get a tomato?
I don't know.
Maybe he named himself after that, Boxcar Willie. Maybe the tomato came first.
Well, that's a good point.
Thank you.
That's incredibly lucid of you. It's out of character.
Beats that F you I got just a minute ago. The German Johnson.
I'm fair.
Yes, a German Johnson tomato.
Oh, the Adoration tomato.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, Adoration. Huh. It looks like a little one. Alicante, Better Boy, Big Rainbow.
This is like chickens when we got into how many how many breeds of chicken are there. It was like endless.
Have a look at any damn thing. There's tons of varieties of them. Dogs, cheeses, tomatoes, chickens, horses, cows. There's just tons
I know,
of
like,
them.
Yeah. There are like two of each of those.
Right.
Holstein, there's what, Guernsey, like, Angus.
When we, in the days of Bob and Brian World and we studied the orangutan, thought there was two, and then there was the third variety
third one
of
popped
orangutan.
Up. But it wasn't like there were 70.
No.
Like this.
But for an animal with a fairly limited range, you got three different kinds, and they don't want them interbreeding.
Right.
There's a 4th of July tomato.
What can I get all? Where do I have to go for these? Does my grocer carry all these? Do I need to stop at a vegetable stand?
Have you any green zebra tomatoes? Is that a zebra tomato? Green zebra. great white, yeah, great white tomato.
Golden Jubilee yellow, heirloom tomato.
Yeah.
That sounds like one for the queen. Golden Jubilee.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Jersey Boy, Jubilee, Juliet.
Jersey Boy. You know, Paulie's mom died going to Jersey Boys and the Sopranos.
Yeah, well, maybe this is the kind that Colonel Johnson ate. It's New Jersey. Nice red tomato. Yeah.
All right. Now that we know there's all these different tomatoes, how many does it have a number on there? How many there are? Oh, wow.
This page just keeps going forever.
Yeah, Brian's chart keeps going forever with pictures and definitions and names and all that stuff.
Did the Wikipedia people who made the chart get? Oh, yeah, this list says there are over 10,000 tomato cultivars.
There you go. All right.
This is just a partial list. Do we really have names for all of them?
Thousand.
This is like paint colors.
And who could really tell the difference between some of these? Hey.
Well, yeah. Is that a Tiny Tim or a cherry?
No, that's a Bonnie Centennial.
We should start a club. There is one.
A tomato club.
You don't think there's a tomato club that gets together in Vegas every year?
Sure is. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. We start a club. That club was started 200 years ago. What was that? A Bonnie what rock?
Bonnie Centennial. Or is it a Black Prince heirloom?
I'll meet you over by the yellow pears in half an hour. I got to go check out the cherry nabulas.
You know, we laugh, but it's probably a $1 billion industry. More than that.
Oh.
Tomatoes, more than a $1 billion
with
industry.
All the tomato sauces and
so you laugh
spaghetti.
Ketchups.
Yeah, ketchup, right. Bloody Mary mixes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
V8.
If you just had the Heinz contract for tomatoes, you're a billionaire, right?
For sure.
You are.
I'm sure they have tons of different tomato providers, not just one farmer to provide all that.
I wonder if Heinz is like McDonald's where they have, you know, specific farmers that grow their potatoes.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
sure.
For
quality control.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. But if you're one of those guys,
McDonald's
harvests
their own fish.
That could just that could just freeze up your business. All right. We're gonna make tomato ketchup. What kind of tomatoes do we want to use?
There's 10,000.
All right, we're on recipe number 2,809, and there's 10,000 different tomatoes. And then there's the blends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Good question.
You know, laugh it up, joke boy. The tomato people are getting richer by the second.
What if Henry Heinz had just picked the wrong tomato? And he picked the worst tasting tomato to make
Yeah.
His cat.
How do you know he didn't? But he put enough enough seasoning and things in there to taste that, you know, it was better than what we had already. So
no idea.
Yeah.
And has it changed over the years? Like they went from.
Well, who knows what Henry Heinz put out initially? I'm sure it doesn't taste like what we get today. I'm
right.
Sure,
you know, no, you don't think.
My guess is it's got a little more flavor to it now than it did back then, because anything was better than the garbage they were eating back then.
It was quite literally garbage. It was rotting.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they were doing. They were trying to cover up that taste. So anything that wasn't garbage or rotting would be better than that, I would think.
They probably go with the fastest growing tomato, or, you know, something they could.
True, right. Like the chicken.
Yeah.
You know, a chicken goes from the egg to being a full grown chicken in what, 6 weeks we talked about
laying
a couple
eggs,
weeks ago?
Some of them, yeah.
Or ready for market, ready for, you know, and plucking.
No sense in letting this thing age anymore.
Right. They need them to grow quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's business. We can't take 6 months to raise a chicken. We got to have that thing in your grocer's freezer in 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Got to get Buffalo Wild Wings.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so you're right. I'm sure it's a fast-growing tomato.
Yeah.
Because we need them all the time. How would you like the Prego contract or the Ragu contract?
Any one of those, I'm sure.
Right. Sure. Heinz, Hunt's.
Are there tomato fields V8. Around here? I've never seen
I don't know that. The word tomato climate.
We found out from Rebecca Clayfish that we are a top vegetable-growing state.
Right. But when was the last time you drove by a tomato field?
I can't remember ever doing it. But then on the other hand, ask me this question. Do you get out much? And when I do, am I cruise around looking at fields?
You would notice a tomato field. You cornfield, soybean, wheat, barley, blah, a grain. Those are all your standards, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen a string bean field, but we must have them because we grow the most biggest variety or most per pound vegetables in the country. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I was under the impression that we're growing carrots and all those things. Celery.
We grow a lot of cabbage. I know that. Driven by a lot of cabbage fields.
Yeah. Down in Racine County, those fields are not unusual.
So unglamorous. Cabbage.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the cabbage?
It stinks.
Stop helping.
Thank you.
Rock.
Came in and pitched relief there.
One pitch.
Nice job. Well, we're not in the top 10.
In?
Tomato growing. Okay. California, Florida, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. So we're up in the tomato belt there. Tennessee, South Carolina, New Jersey, North Carolina.
Is it climate or soil, you think, that makes the difference? Because Indiana, it's in southern Indiana, their climate's a lot different. Michigan seems almost exactly like ours, but they have a much sandier soil over on that side of the lake. How do I know all this? Where did I get all this soil information? It's like I'm the soil king of the show.
Bob really knows a lot about soil.
Really? He gave us one fact about one state.
But nobody else is offering up soil facts.
Northern Wisconsin is very sandy. It's sandy up there. Mr. Sandy Soil Expert.
Again.
Not just Michigan.
Again.